We know that you are still God. And so in Christ we trust, and we trust you this day, Lord God. And we ask you now to speak a word for us, to speak a word of hope, Lord God. We speak a word that will sustain us, to speak a word that will strengthen, to speak a word that will comfort, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord God, for you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. We thank you this day. Amen. So, friends, my sermon title today is, We'll Never Walk Alone.
Amen.
We'll never walk alone. We will never walk alone. The songwriter says, you will never walk alone, but we will never walk alone. You know, there's a hymn in our hymnal called In the Garden, and I always tend to think of this hymn later in the evenings. And the hymn says, this hymn says, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. None other. What a beautiful hymn this is. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. This beautiful hymn was written by the hymn writer C. Austin Miles, who wrote that he was inspired to write this hymn after reading John 20. He was inspired to write it after reading John 20 with Mary Magdalene's encounter with Jesus, with the gardener, Jesus in the garden. And he writes, he says, he was sitting with his Bible, and he was sitting in his Bible, and he was reading that story. And all of a sudden, as if he had a vision, this narrative of Jesus coming to Mary as she was weeping. He says, I awakened in sunlight, gripping my Bible with my muscles tense, and my nerves vibrating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I wrote as quickly as the words could be formed, the lyrics exactly as it is sung today. That same evening, I wrote the tune. It is sung today as it was written in 1912. And how many of us love that song, that hymn? Knowing that Jesus is walking with us. How important that hymn is now as we are journeying by ourselves. Many folks or Christians are in hospitals by themselves. How important it is to know the words of songs like this or scriptures when no one can be there. Right? When you are, your time has come and not a family member can be there. Yes, and Jesus is walking with them. I'll get to that. This gospel reading from Luke is a story called the Walk to Emmaus. And these two people are not really in a garden, you see. They're walking. It occurs right after the Easter narrative in the Gospel of Luke 24:1-12. And it takes place later on the day on Easter Sunday. It takes place later after the resurrection. Something that reminded me when I was reading up on you know, some historical facts. Right? It happened later that day. The story is found only in Luke's gospel. You can check it out. It's in no other gospel but Luke. The location of Emmaus has never been identified with certainty, but was near the city of the first century Jerusalem, which was smaller than the city is today. So we have never been able to say this is Emmaus. When you go to Israel, they can't tell you, like they could say this is the Dolorosa, but they cannot tell you this is Emmaus, but they know it was near the city, the old Jerusalem. We read in the story, friends, it says, now on that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus. Now, here, friends, I always, when I read that story, put in my brain that it was two men. Always, and, you know, just assume, you know, when you read things without really thinking. But the scripture doesn't say that. It says two of them. Two of them. It could have been a man and a woman. Could have been, because remember, there were women who were Jesus' disciples. Jesus named 12 men, but there were women who were also followers of Jesus. So it could have been two women, could be a man and a woman. The text is clear on that. Every reading, every interpretation you read, be it the NIV, the NRSV, the Message Bible, all of them say two individual or two of them, two persons were walking. And they were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. They're talking to each other. They're not happy, because as you read the narrative, they're despondent, because there is this Messiah who was come to save them, right? And it may seem as light to us now, but when you're under captivity and the person you believe has come to save you gets killed, you're in a bad place. Scripture tells us that while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him at that moment. You see, here's my first point. Jesus shows up because he knows when we are in distress. He shows up every day, but especially when we are in distress or we are discouraged or we are weary, Jesus shows up. He shows up, and even when you don't recognize him, I'm going somewhere, he shows up. You see, at the hospital now, Holy Spirit told me this last night, at the hospital now, Jesus has been showing up, even though folks may not recognize him. He's showing up as doctors and nurses. He's showing up in those people who have gone to hold the hands of some of those who are so sick, who one cannot get to a family. He shows up in them, using us, because we are Jesus' hands and feet. He shows up in those people who are leaving their family at home, leaving their safety, leaving their children. Oh, yes, there are those of us who are praying. Yes, and we all are praying, and we are praying from a distance, and thanks be to God we are praying. But there's a Savior who sends people to the walls of those hospitals, to the walls of those nursing homes, to show up for someone to hold their hand as they cross over. Or to tell them that it's going to be all right. Or to tell them to breathe. One man said he was so panicked, he was in the bathroom, he got better, a Broadway star. And he says he was in the bathroom and he couldn't breathe. And he felt so bad, he had gone in there, was very sick with the corona. And by the time he got to his bed, he just couldn't barely breathe. And the nurse was standing there, she just held his hand and she says, breathe. Just breathe now. I got you. And he was saying there, he says, thank God that she was there. He was so afraid that he was stopping from breathing. He was overwhelmed. And she just said, I got you. Just breathe. Jesus shows up to these people. Thanks be to God. Just breathe. The Lord shows up, you see, because he shows up for this man. This story is so pertinent for today because he's reminding us that he is a Savior who does not forget his people. And even though he's not with us physically walking, he has what? He has got his soldiers. He's got his angels. He's got those who are on the job all the time. And he's taking care of his people in whatever way he can through them.
Amen.
You see, Jesus will show up when we need him the most. Even when we can't recognize him. So many of us are not, we cannot recognize Jesus anymore because he's not coming with his hands with in the nail, palm and so on, but he's coming in the form of a woman who's cleaning the bathroom or the man who's cleaning a floor in a hospital. He's coming there to hold as you, some people are throwing up. He's coming there with somebody who says, go ahead, I'll clean you up when you're done. Oh, glory to God this morning. Oh, glory to God for these frontline workers. Oh, glory to God for these soldiers in the army of God. Oh, glory to God for those who sacrifice everything to show up for somebody else. It's okay, we know many of us, we can keep a distance. We know how to keep a distance, but for those who show up, it's a blessing from God. And he said to them, what are you discussing? Right? And the Bible says they were looking sad. Scripture said they were looking sad. They were despondent. They were looking sad, Luke says. And then one of them began to say, ask the question, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that does not know the things that have been taking place in these days? There are times you want to say to Jesus, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know what I'm going through? The question was, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who don't know what has happened? That's what they asked Jesus. Are you the only one? What are you? Have you been in hiding? They did not recognize him. How many times many of us have said, I'll speak for myself. Lord, I says, you says I could, you know, you'll give me all, you won't give me more than I could bear. But Lord, in case you confuse me with somebody else, I can't bear anymore. Do you know, Lord, that I cannot bear anymore? This is why God is so awesome. Because he says you could come and reason with me. Do you know you could reason with God? Isaiah tells you. I've got to give you the verse, give you where that verse is. So when you feel that you're not holy enough to talk to God or to tell God how you feel, the prophet Isaiah says, though your sins may be as red as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Come and reason with me. God allows us to reason with him. He does not just allow me in the white gown to reason with him. He allows every single one of you. You know what reason mean in the Hebrew? That means you could tell him what you don't believe, what you don't understand. Tell him why you're doubting. Tell him reason. He listen. That's why this question is here. And when those men asked that question, those two people asked that question, Jesus did not knock them over. He didn't say, well, shut up now or be quiet. He kept walking with him. He's more merciful to us and less critical than we are to other people. Because we're always waiting to criticize what they're doing as if we could do it any better. Jesus said, he says, no, he began to listen. And my Bible tells me that Jesus took the time to listen. They didn't say, but you know, I knew. The people, those two people, they told him the whole story. What happened? That the Messiah came. It was prophesied by the prophets. Can't you see Jesus, the Savior, walking with them? They're walking with them and they're telling him all that has happened to him. He's a patient, loving, listening Savior, somebody. He's a patient. They told him the old story. When I read this again, you know, I read it several times. Last night, you know, each time you read it based on context. You know, we're in a time and I'm reading it. I'm thinking, they're telling Jesus the entire story. Telling him again what happened, how he was promised by the prophets, and that things happened. Do you know the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and before God and all the people? I'm not going to read it again. And what the chief priests and the leaders handed him over to be condemned, and they had given him the story, and he never stopped them from speaking. You know, I probably would have said, I got it. You know, I would say, I already know it, I got it, I've been there. You know, not Jesus. He listens. Remember the song says, Amen. And he walks with me and he talks with Amen. Me. He listened to them. Amen. Because he knew they needed to what?
Amen.
To speak. They needed to unload. They needed one good quality of Christians is to what? To be listeners. Needed to be to unload. And they went on. And he talked about they went to the woman. And the woman was there. And they went. And Jesus never stopped them. I tell you, when my time comes and I go see him, I'm going to say, boy, you were something else, Lord Jesus. You were something. What a wonderful Savior you were. That you listened to your own creation. Your own handiwork. You take the time to listen. No bragging, no boasting. Just listen. And the next point is Jesus stayed with them. As they're walking, is how many miles? 7 miles. He kept walking towards Jerusalem. He never went away from them. He stayed with them. When you call on Jesus, when you're in trouble, he's going to stay with you. You know how many people in the hospitals right now that Jesus has sent one little nurse or one little nurse's aide to sit there and stay with them. What did Boris, forgot his last name, the Prime Minister of England said? That night when he was so sick, there are two foreign nurses who stayed with him 24/7 to make sure that when his oxygen was low, they would put it up. He said they saved his life. They took turn all night long, stayed with him. Making sure Jesus does that through people.
Amen.
Knows what we need. And then what he did, he went to stay. And then when he was going to leave them, what did they say? Don't stay with us. Stay with us. Right? And what did he do? He stayed with them. Amen. See, when we read the scripture, we must read every line. He stayed with them. Ah, he will stay with you when you call on him, friends. He stayed with them. And what did he do when he stayed with them? He was going to give them a divine blessing. Ah, he took the bread. They recognized him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. He was going to bless them. He was going to bless them. He was going to let them know it's going to be all right. Ah, you may have gone through. You thought the Messiah left, but it's going to be all right.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was telling. The Bible tells us that was the second time. You mean, he had done the Holy Communion. He had done the before he went. Remember Holy Thursday, and now these are two people, and we do not believe it is the same. It is the 11. Because remember, Judas has died. It's not the 11. There were two other disciples. Because they went to tell the 11. Right? They went to tell the other 11. So there were other followers of Jesus. These two people came out of that. So when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. The mere fact that he blessed the bread and broke it and gave it to them, that's it. He's blessing them. He's giving them his body. He's saying, he's going to be all right. This is my body given for you. Luke doesn't tell you that he says those words, but I could imagine he says, this is my body given for you. I've given it for you, and their eyes would be opened. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. The eyes were open after that blessing. Ah, glory to God. He wanted to give them what? Hope. Hope to say, I am with you, I am in your midst, and I am not going to leave you alone. Thanks be to God. Friends, the same Jesus who showed up for these two people is the same Jesus who is showing up for us today. Yes, and he's not walking in a long white gown, and he's not necessarily walking around with his showing his hands, but he's using these human folks, men and women who have become angels of the Lord. They're not doing this because they're getting paid. Because there's not enough money to pay some of these people to work to what they're going through. Jesus is with us. Somebody needs to hear this morning, no matter what is happening, no matter what is happening to them, no matter if they're transitioning to the other time side, if you die knowing Christ, you do not die alone. That he's there with somebody this morning. Whoever, we're praying for some people in our church. We're praying for some folks. And no matter what they're going through, no matter what it is, and even those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, be reminded that Jesus is there with you. Whether you recognize him or not, he's there with you. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. Because the inclined is here to me. Therefore I will call on his name as long as I live. As long as I live, I'll call on his name. Oh, the sneers of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Death laid hold on him. But I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. And he saved me. So friends, Peter told them, he was just saying to them, this Jesus who rose from the dead can save you. He says, he can save you. All you've got to do is accept him as your Lord and Savior. He will save you. He'll be with you. And even when you don't recognize him, he'll show up. And so, beloved of Christ, I want to end with this song. The reading from this song. I was watching TV last night, the news, maybe it was at 7, and there was a gentleman, I think it was a medical worker, and he was singing this song. And I wish I had the kind of voice now to sing it. I was going to ask, I didn't get it to Nancy in time for her to play it, but he was playing this song. He was singing it. And as he sang the song, I began to cry. Because I realized that somebody, I mean, I think the news person eyes filled up. Because how much we needed to hear this song. This song was sung by Elvis Presley. And many, many more. And here it is. You'll never walk alone. When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. And then it says, walk on, friends. Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on with hope in your heart, and you will never walk alone. You will never walk alone. Walk on.
Amen.
Oh, walk on.
Hallelujah.
With hope in your heart.
Hallelujah.
And you will never ever walk alone. You will never walk alone.
Amen.
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 No matter what we're going through, walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart. And you will never, ever walk alone. Thanks be to God.